Well, look around you, or don't, but it beats a barn in the manger, doesn't it? You think about if Jesus was just a promise or a prophecy or a myth or a legend, but he's not. He's real. He really came. And that's the thing that's kind of stuck on me. I'll read you a few verses here, but these two words, and I put an outline together. There's some out there on the table on your way out if you want to pick one up to cement in place all the passages of Scripture. But he really came, and he came on purpose, with power, with authority to accomplish the purpose. And at this time of year, you know, you can get all confused about, you know, what Christmas is about and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, nothing else changed history like Jesus coming. It's the most important thing that's ever happened in the world. And regardless of how you feel about him, that's pretty hard to argue. Even changes how we measure time, you know, because he came. John chapter 1, verse 9. This was the true light that coming into the world enlightens every person. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world didn't know him. He came, and that's how it just stopped. He came, and I could just not say anything else. I won't do that, but he came. If you don't get anything else out of us being together tonight, he came, and he came for you, and he came for me. He didn't just come accidentally. He didn't just stumble off the throne and fall down to earth one day. This is a well-planned, conceived way of bringing us who were downtrodden and slaves to sin up to the level where we could be sitting at the right hand of his Father with him. That's why he came. He came to his own, and his own people didn't accept him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and called out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who is coming after me has proved to be my superior, because he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. God, the only Son, who is in the arms of the Father, has explained him, has illustrated him, has made him known." So we see from John chapter 1, verse 9, he came. That's the significance. He came. He didn't just promise he was going to come and then rebook. He didn't send somebody in his place. He didn't send a substitute. He came, he really came, and he came to the real earth for real people. And he came to dwell among us, and at our invitation, he even comes to dwell in us, which is a pretty cool deal. That's what Easter's all about. So we tied these two things together. So I was just journaling a little bit, and you know, Lord, I'm going to talk about he came. You got anything else to say? And yeah, he said he came, and he came to his own. His own didn't receive him. He came to mankind, and you're happy about that. But have you considered what he left when he came? And I said, apparently not, or you wouldn't be talking to me about it right now. So here's what I wrote down. He left the perfect, peaceful beauty of his throne. He left the ceaseless wonder of perpetual praise and adoration. He left the pristine atmosphere of heaven, untouched by sin and unpenetrated by darkness. And he left the transcendent magnificence of the union of the triune God in order to take on a human body and live among men. He came to open up to us everything he laid down when he came. He came to bring the expression of God's heart of light and love to us. The expression of God's heart now is to become the experience of our hearts. That's pretty cool. But that's not the only reason he came. I want to look just for a few minutes at what the Bible says why he came. That was what was on my heart. Here's what the Bible says. Matthew 5:17 says, "Do not presume," Jesus says, "that I came to abolish the law and the prophets. I didn't come to abolish, but to fulfill." He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. I'm telling you, it was planned, it was prophesied. The Holy Spirit is the chief choreographer. I mean, he had this thing all lined out. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 says, "Now after John was taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" He came to proclaim the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom had not been preached up to this point, but he came to declare. Remember when Jesus is standing before Pilate and he says, "Well, you know, I got all these soldiers here, you know, we're going to take you out." And he said, "Oh, if I were in a fight right now, my kingdom's not of this world. We'd come and this would be over." He understood that the kingdom of God was breaking through and coming through to earth, and he did it when he came the first time. It'll be completed when he comes the next time. But he came to proclaim the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And without that, we're in a lot of trouble. John chapter 12, verse 47, "If anyone hears my teachings and doesn't keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." A lot of people don't know this verse is in the book. It says he came to save, not judge. Now, he's the judge of all judges, but he came to save us so that we could escape judgment, because he took the judgment that we were supposed to get. He came not to judge. That wasn't his purpose. His purpose was to save. The next time he comes, here comes the judge. But this time he came so that he could save and not judge. And I know I'm talking to people, maybe some here, maybe some that are listening to our live streaming. You feel judged, probably because you're judging yourself or someone else is judging you. Well, if you're doing something worth judging, probably the thing to do would be to back off of that, change your mind about that, right? But the judgment isn't supposed to be what you're feeling from God. He might be conviction from the Spirit of God so you could give your heart to him. But he didn't come to judge and cause trouble. He came to save, emancipate, redeem, ransom. And we have to know that. I know, I was thinking about this. I forget what you said something, Wes, and it popped into my head tonight, so I'm going to say it. Way back when, 1974, that's a long time ago. Chad, you weren't even born then. I'll forgive you. That's the year I got saved and gave my heart to the Lord and couldn't wait. It's going to be my first Christmas, man. I got up like at 5 o'clock and I'm going to go to the church and I'm going to hark the herald angels or whatever their names were, herald or whatever. Anyway, I hadn't been saved very long. I didn't know very much, but I knew this was my first Christmas. And man, this is, you know, there's the two big ones, Easter and Christmas, and I'm going to do it. And I, you know, I don't have any sense. Christmas is probably on Thursday or something. It wasn't a Sunday. And I go to the church, and it's early in the morning. It's dark, and the church is locked. And I was perturbed. I thought, how can they lock it on Christmas, man? I mean, this is the one they build up to all the time. Of course, I didn't realize. So I just went back to my car and told the Lord, "This really stinks." I was going to, like, he said, "Well, anything you can do in there, you can do in here." And essentially, the door to the building is locked, but the door to my heart isn't. And I said, okay. I just felt like I should say that. Somebody feels like the door's shut to them. Maybe you feel like you shut your finger in the door. I don't know. Or maybe you feel like somebody slammed the door to God in your face. I'm here to tell you the door is wide open. He came to open it, and he declared it open. And that's for you, and that's for you now. Now we're like me tonight. And so do not hesitate. In a few minutes, we're going to give a chance to pray and offer yourself to the Lord. Do not hesitate to say, okay, if the door's open, I'm coming in. That's the reason that it's open. He came to save and not to judge. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." That's a lesson America needs to learn. We'll just go on. "And to give his life as a ransom for many." He came not just to save, but also to serve, giving himself as a ransom. So he's paying your bail. He is the get out of jail free card when you give your life to him. He paid, he said we are bought with a price. That's what he came for, is to ransom us. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Not to seek and destroy what's lost, but to seek and save what's lost. And it doesn't say, well, I'm going to wait if you ever get around to coming. No, he said, I'm coming. I'm the seeker. He is the sin-seeking missile. And if you'll permit him, he'll blow that stuff up. It says he came to seek. He's on the lookout. When I finally gave my life to the Lord, I turned around and realized it had been him chasing me all that time. I mean, I found him finding me. That's really real. I found him finding me. I thought, well, that's that's pretty neat. Galatians 1, this may be more real in this year as you look at it. This verse, it was real way back when Paul wrote to the Galatians, but these words are so real. Grace to you and peace from the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of God our Father. He came to rescue us from this present evil age. Well, he couldn't rescue us from that present evil age because it isn't present anymore. So the only one he can save us from is this one. Anybody sense a little evil going around this time that they hadn't seen maybe before? Oh, it's just unprecedented, isn't it? And he came to rescue. Now, you got to recognize, rescue is like alarms and ambulances and first responders, right? It's not like, well, it's a lovely day. Rescue means there's trouble. Rescue means there's something that you need to be saved from, something you need to be extricated from. And that's what he came to do. And sometimes we don't make it that way. We don't recognize, listen, apart from the Lord, life is a shipwreck. As it pertains to eternity, you can't dock your boat in eternity unless he's the captain of your boat. Am I making sense? So he rescues us to keep us from not being alive only in this evil age, but to be alive and enjoy everything he laid down when he came to earth to present himself. I think that's a very pertinent word. And then the scriptures go on to say in Colossians 1, Paul says it this way, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So not only did he come to rescue us from the enemy, but to transfer us out of the hold that darkness and the enemy has on us. That's a hard one for us to get a hold of, but I bought somebody a graduation card once. What, pray tell, does that have to do with Christmas? Give me a chance. And I love this card. It's the best one I ever saw. I wish I'd have printed it, you know, written it myself. But it's to the graduate, and when you open up the card, it had a picture of the school building, and all it said was, don't go there anymore. Isn't that great? Why? Because they've been transferred from having to go there, being forced to go there, having no choice but to go there. It's what happens when somebody receives the Lord. You don't go there anymore. They don't have authority over you anymore. You don't have to learn any of those lessons anymore. As a matter of fact, you can start gaining life now. And I'd like to be able to create that card and send it to everybody that's never given their heart to the Lord. And, you know, just point a picture of the world, the flesh, and the devil depreciating and circling the bowl and saying, don't go there anymore. Now, I know I'm talking to somebody because I hadn't thought about this. Don't go there anymore. You don't have to. He came to rescue you. Just accept the rescue. You don't even have to have a full explanation. You know, I never heard anybody when the ambulance showed up saying, gee, I don't know. I was hoping for a white one, not a red one. No, you just get in the ambulance because you need it, right? Well, I don't really think I understand this or that. I didn't either. But when I had the Lord revealed to me, I said, okay, I'll hang all that stuff over here and I believe you. And that served me very well. And that's what he told me to do. You know that Jesus is real. Go with that. And I did. And we're still going. So whatever it is that keeps you from him, don't go there. Graduate. Get transferred let the rescue be complete. And he says, not only he came to rescue us from the enemy, but to transfer us into his kingdom, having already forgiven us and redeemed us. So redemption and forgiveness come with it. I don't know what's under your tree, but if you could open two presents this Christmas, and one of them was complete forgiveness and the other one was redemption from sin, you'd be in pretty good shape. Those are great gifts, and they're accepted only by opening your heart and doing that. I love this from Acts chapter 10, 38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. Why did he come? He came with authority and power to heal everyone who's oppressed by the devil. Well, I don't know if there is a devil. That's because you're oppressed by the devil. I tell you, if we could get the bonds broken off of people who are tethered to things in darkness, well, Happy New Year. I mean, that would be a wonderful thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says it this way. This is why it came. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation, and the old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us through himself, to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their wrongdoings against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He came so we could be rightly connected to God again. So we could have peace with God, and God could have peace with us. John 10:10 says, he came to give us life, and life abundantly. So he came to give us abundant life. Reconciliation with God, life. He came with love and peace and authority and power and compassion and joy. He came to prove that humans haven't been abandoned by God. They're just lost. Some people feel abandoned. Well, God doesn't care about me, or doesn't explain things to me. No. That's why Jesus came. People are just lost. You haven't been abandoned. If he was going to abandon you, why would he let his son get ripped open on a tree? Come on. So mankind isn't abandoned. Mankind is lost. And tonight, all you really need to do is to honestly and intentionally agree to be found. That's all he really asks you to do, is to honestly and intentionally be willing to be found. I'll tell you, the first time I was willing, I got saved. I had people speak the gospel to me a number of times. Because I didn't value it any. But when he opened my eyes and I intentionally said, oh, yes, I was miraculously taken by the King of Kings. And that's all it takes. I know I'm talking to people tonight. It's Christmas. People chime in and sit in with their families, you know, especially now we're doing things online, and have the opportunity to. And I want you to know, just be willing to be found, because he comes to seek and save those who feel abandoned because they are lost. You're not abandoned. You just feel that way because you haven't been reconciled to the Lord. That's really true. That's really real. I'm going to pray for us in a second, and we're going to take communion, but I want to read this passage of scripture to you. This came through a little thread we have between the elders. Scott said, hey, I really love this, and I like this verse, and he likes this verse, and you know, and I thought, well, I kind of like them all. Psalm 130 from the Passion. It's just, Lord, I cry out to you from the depths of my despair. Hear my voice, O God. Anybody done that this year? Answer this prayer and hear my plea for mercy, Lord. Because if you measured us and marked us with our sins, who would ever have their prayers answered? But you, your forgiving love is what makes you so wonderful. No wonder you are loved and worshiped. This is why I wait upon you, expecting your breakthrough. For your word brings me hope. I long for you more than any watchman would long for the morning light. I will watch and wait for you, O God, throughout the night. O Israel, keep hoping, keep trusting, keep waiting on the Lord, for he is tender-hearted, kind, and forgiving, and he has 1,000 ways to set you free. He himself will redeem you. He himself will ransom you from the cruel slavery of your sin. That's the line I like. Because when you get that off of you, you had no idea what's been on you. The cruel slavery of sin. Sin has its pleasure for a season, but when the season's over, it's slavery. That's the truth. So he says he's got 1,000 ways for setting you free. And who would have guessed that one of them was showing up with us here tonight? But it can be. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to ask you, each of you, because I don't know where everybody is with the Lord, just put yourself in that place where you're willing to be found. Not fighting, not rebelling, not backing off. Just saying, Lord, here am I, just intentionally, here I am, wanting to be found. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room, and I pray for everybody watching online, that we'd be able to put ourselves in that place where we're willing to be found. And Lord, I pray for people all over the audience to have you, Holy Spirit, now quicken truth to them, speak to them, touch their heart, prompt their understanding so they can know that you're opening that door. Just like that door was locked to me on that Christmas, and I felt so bad until you spoke to me. Lord, your door was open all the time. And I pray you would open doors all across the audience where people can say, oh, I didn't know. And now I can. So Lord, we want to say together today that we believe that you sent your Son to die on a cross for the payment of our sins. We believe that he is the Lord and Savior of our life. And today we open the door to our heart and say, Lord Jesus, come in. I confess that I have fallen short, and I ask for your forgiveness. Cleanse me, make me whiter than snow, and show me your way of finding me tonight so I can know that I am at peace with you, you're at peace with me, and life eternal is mine to enjoy. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now look at me for just a minute. You should have gotten your communion elements when you came in today. If you didn't, there's some right up here on the stage. Just while I'm talking, feel free to come and get them, because you can take them with the people that you came with, or pull up, you can come up to the altar if you would like to, or just stay in the pew because we'll go back into a position of worship. But if Jesus had not come, the Bible says he came. If Jesus had not come, then we would not be able to do what we're doing tonight. The death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus is the gospel. That's the good news of God making peace with us and us having peace with him. That's what the Lord's table is about. And Lord, we want to say thank you for what you've done for us. We're thankful in our hearts, Lord, for who you want to be to us. And we pray in the name of Jesus, as we take these elements tonight, just as your disciples did with you, we want to say that we believe in you. Our hope is in you. Our trust is in you. And we put our life in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.